Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks.
Today on The Grave Talks, A Life of Hauntings, a conversation with Beth Darlington. It was a dark and stormy night. The stereotypical intro to almost any childhood ghost story. Except on the dark night we're about to talk about, there was a real ghost story. A ghost story that happened in front of young girls, innocently playing outside, looking off in the distance under the streetlight, only to see a person standing there. But something was off. Something didn't seem right about the period of dress this person happened to be wearing. Could this figure possibly be something other than a living human? Could they be seeing a ghost? That's where it all starts for Beth Darlington.
Oh, it sounds very cliche because a lot of people will say, oh, it's always been there. But again, I have to join that crowd. It's always been there. Mm-hmm. I've always had the interest in it. It's always fascinated me. Obviously growing up, many years ago, not too many years ago, I was able to, the interest was there. It wasn't something that was talked about mainstream. It's a lot more different now, I find. I think it's a lot more open. People are a lot more easily talking about it. It's a lot more, people are more accepting. I think also having moved from Australia to the UK, here in the UK, it is definitely a lot more accepting here than it is in Australia. Australia still has a lot of stigma. So to actually develop an interest in an environment where it's kind of, it's sort of like a cheeky sort of laugh, knock of the ribs kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's really been quite a nice thing to actually have. That's when you know it's a genuine interest. So I've always had it, always been fascinated by why people can see certain things, fascinated about why objects moved. I mean, poltergeists back in the day used to frighten the bejeebies out of me. Now I'm absolutely fascinated and researching and reading as much as I can. It's probably one of my favorite types of possible paranormal phenomena. And so I was always intrigued. It was just something really mysterious about it. Now, my sister and I, growing up in Sydney in Australia, we grew up with parents that were very skeptical. My mum was a journalist and very, when you're dead, you're dead. And she used to sort of joke around and go, if I ever saw a ghost, I'd like, that'll be it. I'm happy with that. And my sister and I would be like, oh, we would be as well, but we'd probably be running in the other direction. But for her, she was like, it's never going to happen. I don't care. My auntie, her sister, here in the UK, had her own spooky experience. And this is one of the stories that my sister and I kind of almost latched onto a little bit. And it was where she was walking through the car park of a beautiful old building she was working in, because surprise, surprise, there's tons of those on this side of the world. And as she walked to her car, she could see somebody in period costume. Now, her location, the place where she was working at, is a beautiful old building which has probably about 400, 500 years worth of history. And so she's thought, well, hang on a second, why is there somebody standing there in this sort of Tudor type outfit with the hat and the feather and the, hang on, what's this about? She thought, it's nighttime. I'm going to work, I'm going back from work, going home. Mm-hmm. And this particular image was actually under a streetlight. So it wasn't a sort of a shadow. It was in full detail.
Yeah.
She thought, that's a bit strange. So she kept walking, took a couple of more steps, turned around, looked again, and the figure actually turned and disappeared under the actual light, under the street lamp. That's when her knees went quite jelly-like.
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, there was another gentleman that was also leaving work at the same time. It was obviously in winter time here, which obviously it's quite dark very early. And he saw her become quite overwhelmed, and he came over to her and said, are you okay? And she said, I don't know. So, and of course, with my mum hearing this, big skeptic said, oh, it never works. It never happens that way. It'll never happen to me, which it didn't. But so my sister and I grew up very much with this sort of skeptical, almost negative connotation when it came to the possibility of an afterlife. Mm-hmm. And so later on, when I think got to my late teens, I really started to become very interested in it. And I, you know, my very first book was Royal Ghostly Haunted Homes, and I loved it. And I always would go to my favorite chapter, which was about Hampton Court Palace. And I thought, oh, I'd love to go there one day and walk through the haunted gallery and hear Catherine screaming and, you know, like just to have that experience. Obviously, part of me would be extremely frightened at the time. Obviously, when one looks at investigating possible paranormal phenomena, they kind of grow their courage over the years. But back then I would have loved to have seen it, but not loved to have seen it at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I that was one of the things I absolutely wanted to do as an adult growing up and coming over here. And luckily I've been to Hampton Court about three times. So, and I've walked that particular area, and like, it's, you know, as you can imagine, and many people who have been on your show can imagine, when you get to go to a location that you've known of for so long, it is like meeting a celebrity. It really is, except it's a location as opposed to a person.
Yeah.
And you think, oh my gosh, I'm here. This feels amazing. So it's always been there. And it just grew. And at one point I moved over to the UK about 14 years ago, and I thought, oh, I want to do something ghosty. I really love this stuff. It's so different. And I know there's probably lots of lovely haunted buildings to go and stick about in, because I was watching those ghost shows. Yes, I'm one of those people.
Sure.
And as I did, I started to think, maybe I can do this myself. Maybe there's a way to be able to find my own answers. And that's how it originally started for me to really get into it and really have those experiences and learn from them as well. And once a month, I'd make a journey out to somewhere in London and get to experience, you know, some really interesting phenomena. And of course, I moved back to Australia thinking, great, it's going to be exactly the same here. And it's going to be busting full of events and locations. And it was like tumbleweed rolling across the floor. There was nothing like it was here in the UK. And I was bitterly disappointed. So I then thought, you know, I want to start up a website for people who want to do this from a paranormal investigative perspective. And that's why I started my website, Access Paranormal. Mm-hmm. And because it's like a bit of a sly on the Access Hollywood. So it was like, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
It's not about celebrities, but it's about ghost celebrities. But yeah.
You also probably have a video of Donald Trump talking about doing inappropriate things with a ghost, you know, just like.
Well, it'd be a big website to be able to have anything to have all that about. You want to have service space.
It's like, and it still doesn't seem to phase anything. But this is interesting, because I'm really surprised to hear that about Australia not, you know, being not that much into ghosts. Because quite honestly, I mean, we have listeners from around the world, and we have a good chunk in Australia. So is it one of those things where there's a lot of people that have the interest there? It's just not as, I guess, talked about in the open as maybe in the States or in the UK?
Absolutely. I think you've hit the nail on the head right there. A lot of people in Australia are interested. We really love it. We have a beautiful history, got an Indigenous Australian history on top of that as well. Mm-hmm. But the openness with speaking about it or talking about it is a lot more different, I've found, since being here in the UK. It's a very different ball game. Here, it's people are a lot more open. Just you know, your Joe Blogs down the street is quite happy to chat about, you know, someone's cousin's brother's mother had an experience. But trying to speak to somebody in Australia is a little bit more difficult. It's changing. It's changing. That's for sure. Definitely has made its difference this time. But yeah, definitely just changing.
Taking time to get there, a little slower than the rest, it seems, on that one, which I'm honestly kind of surprised by. Let's talk about, you said earlier in your life, you know, the idea of poltergeist activity or experiencing poltergeist activity. You said, you know, you're terrified by this, and now, you know, you love it. Tell me about some of those earlier experiences that you had where it was poltergeist activity that frightened you.
I think it comes down to the fact there's no control when objects move in your vicinity. So if something suddenly flies across the room sporadically, it's something where it's because I can't control it. It's just spontaneously happened. I think originally that's where that fear had come from.
Yeah.
And again, like as you can imagine, you know, you want it to happen. When it happens, it's actually quite confronting.
Sure.
No, I've been in a situation where we were investigating a particular location. I have to say undisclosed because unfortunately this property wants to be kept private.
Sure, that's fine.
And there was a voice recorder sitting on the actual table at the time. And often when I've placed my voice recorders, I always put it on top of a sponge, even just your bog standard kitchen sponge, because it's you know, it's not going to the microphone's not going to absorb any vibration, particularly from any hard surface.
Good idea.
So
I like that.
Yeah, there you go. Tip for everybody. And it just sat there, and at one point someone said, "Oh, I think it's probably best, you know, we head out now." I mean, we all stood up, we looked around, thought, "Oh yeah, we probably need to, you know, grab the microphone." Went to walk over, and it shot across the room.
Oh my God.
It literally just, but it had velocity to it as well. It had force behind it.
Yeah.
And I'd seen it with my own eyes. Now, of course, we've been sitting in the dark for a bit of time by that point, but your eyes adjust over time as well. So, and we could see clearly that no one was around it. We went to go towards it, and it literally flew across the room. And it was, and I thought, okay, well, you know, ask and you shall receive. Not all the time, but thank you. And okay, so, and you confront your fear so much so, because you know you want to see this, you want to experience it. Mm-hmm. But when it happens at first, you're like, it's confronting.
Oh, sure. I mean, when that first happened to you, what was that, on an investigation, or was that just you living life and suddenly it happened?
It was actually on an investigation, yeah.
Really?
I know a lot of people will say to me and ask, oh, you know, would you ever investigate your own home or your friend's home? I will never do that because, you know, once you start, you can't stop. But I think for me, there's safety in being at home and being on a job. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't take your job always home with you, because then you never get to rest. And if, you know, so I tend to not do that in my own place and everyday life. But this was specifically out at a location where something like that did actually happen.
Sure. Before you got involved with investigating, and I know you told me that story of your childhood with you and your sister, were there any other experiences that stand out to you that continue to kind of drive that passion and interest?
Yeah. Yeah, plenty. And it's not the standard way where it's, you know, the Amityville Horror House, you know, sort of shaking of windows or anything like that. It's actually really quite, you know, little bits of mundane stuff here and there. Yeah. But when it happens, every time it's happened to me, it changes me. And I've always said that to other people, like, you know, when you experience something that can be quite intense, you can never be the same person again, because it makes you question how our world works, whether it's afterlife, whether it's something else we haven't explained yet. So, but oh my gosh, yes, there was one time I was in investigating a former mental asylum in a certain part of New South Wales back in Australia. Mm-hmm. And we were in a room at the time, and I remember looking up at one of our team members, and it looked, I can remember it to this day. He was standing in front of me, and it's like a black shadow part of himself pulled away from his own body. Now, we're all stationary. There was no light. We're away. We're in the middle of, there's lots of bushland. There's lots of, you know, trust me, there was nothing. There was no cars going past. There's absolutely no reason for any moving light.
Yeah.
But he's like his body split into two, but it was, one was a shadow coming away from him. And I never forget it to this day. And I thought, is this one of these where people start to become doppelgangers? Mm-hmm. Where there's this person that starts to kind of come away from another person in form. And literally I felt, mate, this is some kind of like Terminator sort of slash, you know, event. You know, it's like poke my shoulder. Yeah. Like, am I actually looking at this? And that was probably one of the first ones that confronted me since being in Australia. I mean, I've been chased around a pool table by another table. That was really interesting. They call it obviously table tipping. I've always been intrigued by that, and there could be other explanations, but tables do move while people do have their hands on the top in certain ways. I'm still working all that out myself, but I have had that as well. My word, so many different beautiful experiences, and they do change you. They really do, and in a good way, in a really good way, actually.
Tell me open-minded. More. I've heard the term table tipping. It's been a long time. Tell me more about how that works and what happened with you.
Well, we were in a location in Queensland, which is a state north of New South Wales in Australia. Beautiful place in near Townsville. And we had a couple of people, and it was one of these tables that were kind of like a light plasticky type table. And there was five people that had their fingers just lightly on the top. Now, if you can push a table with fingers lightly on the top, and, you know, good luck. And we practiced before and afterwards as well, because I'm like, come on, guys, this was pretty good. You know, where's the camera? You know, literally, it's like, come on.
Sure. Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand-new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.